Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour, at least, on this November the 24th on the West Coast, now November the 25th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. I'd like to welcome anyone listening to us tonight on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, and a shout-out to everyone in the U.S. military, and also those who are listening on blogtalkradio.com, either live or on a post-dated broadcast. Well, we've got a guest lined up for tonight, having trouble getting in touch with him right now, but all things sort of work out in the end. I had something planned anyway for the first part of the show, and I want to get straight down to business. Hopefully we'll entertain some calls a little bit later on in the show. I'd like you to hear a message that has been played on a few shows. I know already Drew Raines played this on his A Marine's Disquisition a few days ago. And someone had sent this link to me in an email, and I paid very close attention to what was being said. And it's sort of a summary of what happens when you're trying to get the truth out. This features the Reverend Dr. James David Manning in a recent message that he had for everyone pretty much around the world, actually. And here it is.
I am James David Manning, pastor of the Otla World Missionary Church in Harlem, Otla, New York. I'm also the host of the daily radio broadcast called The Manning Report. On the 16th of November, 2009, on or about 6 p.m. in the afternoon, two CIA agents claiming to be members of Homeland Security and two New York City detectives came to our church to ask me questions regarding statements I have made about Barack Hussein, the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama. They drew my attention, the agents did, to a posting on our website called Tea Party Members Go Viral on the Birth Certificate. And in that particular posting, I stated that the long-legged Mac Daddy is invincible by the vote. But only should you turn your attention to the birth certificate issue, then he becomes outrageously vulnerable. He is indeed an illegal alien and is not qualified to be the U.S. president. I spoke in that particular video posting as a servant of the Most High God, whose name is Jesus, who prophesied, Jesus did, that Obama would rise from the dark kingdom. If you will read in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, starting at verse 1, but specifically focusing on verse 24 and all the verses of tribulation, pestilence, earthquakes, and diverse places that will precede Matthew's Gospel 24, verse 24. And Jesus also stated that the world would be deceived. The day of evil has arrived, according to the prophecy of Jesus. And now, in this day, good is called evil, and evil is proclaimed as good. The long-legged Mac Daddy has transcended politics and entered into the region of global evil and the bringer of a false hope and false change. As God's servant, I am commanded to spend all of my energy and time to overthrow this evil that has entered into our world. As an American patriot, I'm compelled to fight to restore our republic and its constitution. I expect, as a result of the visit last night by the CIA and New York City police detectives, Homeland Security people, I expect to be arrested in not too many days. Therefore, I pray to explain the entire matter of the Dark Kingdom and my representation of light in these very dark and evil days. I will be charged with the threat against the life of the U.S. president. However, I wish to quickly explain, such charge will be invalid as the person now wearing the label of president is not constitutionally eligible, therefore he is invalid. This person who now wears the label of the U.S. president has hidden from the American populace all of his vital records, his high school diploma, his records of his sojourn and his adoption in Jakarta, Indonesia by Lolo Shatoro, his admittance to Occidental College, the scholarships that he received, also his admittance to Columbia University and all graduation diplomas, papers, theses, and writings in any of these schools and universities. He has carefully hidden and covered every one of his tracks that would let us know who he is and why he exists in this nation. He has posted on his website a fraudulent, forensic fraud of a certificate of live birth that is laughable at best and pathetic at worst. Therefore, there is ample reason to believe that he is not a U.S. citizen, therefore not qualified or eligible to serve as U.S. president. Therefore, any charges against me will later be proven to be invalid. Many patriots have petitioned the courts, the U.S. Supreme Court, the highest court of our land, for relief on this all-important issue. The courts have become complicit against the heartbeat of this nation and against its constitution. The defense of the treason, this organized treason and ongoing treason that is now being perpetrated against the American people, they have stated that he has demonstrated all that is needed to be the U.S. president. However, I wish to state that upon my arrest, which I believe is imminent, that these charges will then be brought before the public and perhaps even before the U.S. Supreme Court. The media, likewise, has been complicit. I have called them an associate with the prince of the power of the air, as found in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. For they have conspired to commit treason against the American people. Broadcast mediums like MSNBC, Fox News, and anchor persons such as Bill O'Reilly and Glenn Beck have soothed the American people with frivolous claims that they are there and they are looking out for you. But they have become complicit. All media now stands in full and regular defense of this criminal activity, ignoring the largest story in political history in the annals of this great nation and republic, whereupon the world's most notorious criminal has entered into the position of the president of this nation, allegedly, and has taken power of the greatest nation that ever was by absolute fraud. But with the complicity of the media that has made all of this possible. Understanding that I will be arrested, I wish to state to my church family, friends, and supporters that at present I am of a sound mind, that the evil dark kingdom that is now led by Barack Hussein, the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama, that they in the arrest will not take my freedom simply by placing me in chains. But they took the freedom from all of us with their acts of treason and their conspiracy to commit treason against the American people. Thusly, we all have lost our freedoms. I want you to know, my church family, friends and supporters, that I knowingly and willingly have submitted to my God, who asked me to serve him in this cause and in this matter. And he alone has set my course, and he alone will be my judge. And so I say to Mr. Barack Hussein, the long-legged Mac Daddy Obama, members of the Central Intelligence Agency, Eric Holder, Leon Panetta, and all the others, that here I am at the Outlaw World Missionary Church in Harlem, Outlaw, New York. You may come and arrest me. I am waiting. I will not resist, for I welcome that you would do so. And in doing so, we can finally bring this matter of your ineligibility to serve this great republic and your belligerent trashing of the Constitution can be brought to the American people. I await your arrest. I'm James David Manning, and I ask that God would bless all of us and that he would save America.
And that is Pastor James David Manning speaking before his congregation at the Outlaw Ministries in Harlem, what he now calls Outlaw. While you consider the words that he just shared, this message, which is very profound, and I agree with it, if you've read my research on the long-legged Mac Daddy, Pastor Manning is very correct. Now, we collectively have a message, and I found a song. In fact, I shared this with Drew Raines' listening audience on his show yesterday. I'm going to play this again for my listening audience. This is from Muse, and it's a song called Uprising. Pay attention very closely to the lyrics. And that's Muse. Muse has been doing a tour with U2. In fact, I understand they just played in the States very recently. That song is growing on me, and I think it's, in a way, it's going to become an anthem for our message. The words really are taking a stand against the tyranny that's going on in the world, the corruption, and boy, they hit the nail on the head. We're going to try to bring our guest in tonight now. And so you're going to hear a little dial tone here as we bring him up. And hopefully we will get him on here. Well, let's see. So far, we're not getting him there. I think this time we will. He was on last night, and there we go. All right, we got our ring. This happens. This is live radio, folks. So tonight's guest is a frequent guest on Evident Footprints and many other radio shows now. It has been for a number of years. And his website, educate-yourself.org, is a library or a repository of information on just about any subject you can think of, particularly things related to health and healing, metaphysics, politics, government corruption, chemtrails, you name it. He covers just about everything. And he's our good friend. And I think he's here with us now, Mr. Ken Adachi. Ken, are you with us?
I am. Thank you, Don.
Okay. Can you speak up just a little bit or get your mic a little bit closer?
Okay. How's that?
That's better. Okay. So I don't know if you got to hear the first part of the show, but I played a 9-minute and 40-second speech by Pastor Dr. James David Manning, announcing that he had received a visit from two people identifying themselves as being with the CIA and two New York police detectives regarding a comment made about the Tea Parties on the Outlaw Ministries website. They were threatening to arrest him. Now, so far that hasn't occurred, but I had an opportunity to speak about this with Drew Raines last week, in fact, when this first came out. We considered starting up a defense fund for Reverend Manning, should he be arrested and entangled in some legal battle. Did you get to hear that by any chance?
Not in your show. I wasn't... you know, I was waiting for your call, so I didn't want to open up too many windows. So I did hear, though, that clip you're talking about on your show with Drew Raines last week. I did hear the clip, and I know exactly what he said. And it's surprising to me. I don't know the details of what are the grounds for even talking to him about this.
Well, he's been speaking the truth, basically.
Yeah, but I don't know I just don't know what is the possible excuse for arresting him. I can't imagine what that is. So, I haven't gone to his website to look at that Tea Party information, but, he's probably doing it the smart way by going very public with it, very loud, right out of the box. But I just can't imagine what is the basis for arresting him. I mean, we still have a First Amendment. They haven't killed it yet, although they're working on it. So I just don't know the grounds. And what's CIA talking to American citizens about? Since when is the CIA authorized to operate inside the country as if they're, you know, as if they're the FBI?
Well, yeah, that's a rhetorical question because they operate all over the world when it comes to drug smuggling.
Yeah.
So, you know, is that any different from going around harassing people who are speaking the truth and enlightening people as to what's really going on, mm-hmm. not just in the country, but in the world. Mm-hmm. This is an attempt to frighten those that are out there putting a message. And
oh, yeah.
It's a rather feeble one anyway. And Pastor Manning is, you know, he was very demonstrative. That's actually a video clip. And you can see that he takes his hands and puts his wrists, you know, one over the other, as if his hands are tied or
mm-hmm.
bound,
mm-hmm.
as he gestures, "Come and arrest me."
Mm-hmm.
'Cause then we can bring this up once and for all in a court the way it should. He can make the argument too.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I thought it was, you know, important that we don't forget what's going on behind the scenes. You haven't heard anything about this in the mainstream, of course.
No, of course not. And I was going to get the clip and put it up on my site anyway, so just so we can let people know that he's at least had this encounter, and obviously the publicity would work against them. Very. My guess is nothing's going to happen. They probably paid him a visit in the interest of intimidating him, and his going very public with it and making a loud noise about it is probably the wisest thing to do. It usually is in those circumstances, but I can't imagine what grounds they can arrest him at all. I just can't imagine what. They can make stuff up, I suppose, but, and I'm wondering if he actually saw credentials. Usually the CIA doesn't take out credentials. They usually don't do that. So I'm wondering if they just announced they were CIA
mm-hmm.
rather than showing credentials, in which case they could have been CIA, they could have been anything. They could have been
NSA.
They could have been Blackwater. They could have been anything.
Yeah.
You don't really know. And,
DHS, who?
Yeah, right. So it could be. It's. I'm just guessing from afar, but it sounds like an intimidation shakedown to see if he would, you know, start trembling in his boots and bowing and scraping and start sweating. It may just have been for that purpose, just to size up how he's going to react, you know, in a situation like that. What are they going to arrest him for? Because he's criticizing Obama as being an illegal alien? It just doesn't make any sense to me. What possible grounds can they even trump up against this guy? It just doesn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, well, anyway, I'm going to put a thing up, a note on it as well, just to get it out there. Because if I didn't hear it on Drew Raines when he was talking with you, I wouldn't have known about it at all, so. It needs to get out there in the alternative internet outlets. And then my guess is nothing will come of it, though.
Yeah. Well, on another front, now, we had briefly touched upon the Fort Hood incident. And Chris Story, I have to say, has come out with another blockbuster piece describing what went on with the Chinese. There were Chinese agents there at Fort Hood in cooperation with some U.S. military. And the Chinese were able to get their boxes, we can say, which is the funding that they had. And they were able to, take these funds and put them in a safe place. And the word has it that they haven't figured out if George H.W. Bush is alive or not. He sort of disappeared off the radar.
Yes, you recall I mentioned to you a few days ago that I had gotten an indication from one of the fellows who I regularly communicate with, He's a pretty decent dowser. And he coordinated some information that you and Zias Livingstone had brought to my attention about some, let's say, unusual events that occurred high up above the Earth. And he also picked up indications about the Fort Hood thing. And he, at the time he sent me the email, which was about a week and a half ago, perhaps 10 days ago, it might have been just Fort Hood happened on November 5. This is November 24. So I might have gotten this email around 9 or 10 or 11, somewhere in there. And he had an indication that maybe something happened to George Bush Sr. as a result of that event at Fort Hood. He sent me another email, though, about 4 or 5 days later and said no. He says he feels that maybe the information he had, he was alluding to the notion that maybe he was being interfered with by electronic equipment to upset his dowsing, which in his case, our friends are focusing on him because he's put up some dowses in the past that we're talking about possible Obama assassination attempts, et cetera. And he experienced a lot of paranormal things in the wake of that. So it could be they're trying to sabotage his dowsing work. So anyway, he sort of had doubts about for in the beginning, initially he thought maybe George Bush Sr. had met his demise, and then he retracted that about 5 days later. He says, no, I was probably wrong about that. But he said the other information that he had sent me, none of which I put up on my website yet, I'll talk about it eventually, but not right now. I haven't put it up, but he said the other info was solid. Now, I am in, had conversations with you and Z.S. Livingstone and others, and on these same events, and I'm hearing pretty much the same information from three or four unrelated sources. So, his intuition was probably served them in the end. So it's curious that you say that Christopher Story now is wondering about Bush Sr.'s status. I suppose we'll find out. As we both know, all the presidents living have clones of themselves, and who knows if the current Bush Sr. is the original Bush, who was, who emerged as a naval hero pilot following World War II. We can't be really sure, but he certainly has clones. So if that individual were to meet his end, we might not hear about it. Mm. We just might have a clone pick up the slack.
Mm-hmm. Now, just as a sort of a summary of what went on at Fort Hood, it's become clear that there were World War II bonds there that had, they're described as German bonds. Now, I don't know if that means Germany owned the bonds I'm just not certain of mm-hmm. the exact status of those. But it ties into the earlier reports that when Angela Merkel flew into Washington to sign some documents that was going to have some impact on the release of funds on an international level, Bush was over there in Germany with a Joseph Ackermann from Deutsche Bank, and between Deutsche Bank and Dresdner Bank, they assumed that they were trying to set something up to receive these funds that were about to move. And within a day of his being there in Germany, all of a sudden we have this false flag event at Fort Hood. And just prior to that, we're saying in the last couple of weeks prior to this whole thing, end of October, Hillary Clinton had been put on the chopping block, so to speak, and they were grilling her about where the funds, all these different secret accounts were. The Chinese have a lien on these monies. They own about 47% of all of the debt that the U.S. has. And so they're armed with a lien and basically a court order that they can seize these assets or convert assets into something else other than these bogus derivatives and hedge funds. And so they were very wary of what was going on there. And the word has it, I don't know the specifics, but the U.S. military was working with Chinese Secret Service agents in stopping that heist. Pretty interesting story, isn't it?
Yes.
Consider the cover story.
Oh, yes. If I can just take just a couple minutes to reflect on a couple thoughts about the Chinese government and military's influence in the U.S. And if we can, I would like to use the balance of the time today to continue a theme which I started yesterday, which had more to do with techniques or events that are helping to unravel the New World Order takeover game. And I particularly just wanted to talk about tonight about the work of a woman named Barbara Krauss Brown, who I mentioned to you before. But so if I can just make a final thought about the role of the Chinese government and intelligence agents and secret agents and the Chinese military agents have infiltrated the United States big time. Big time. And our government has been working in league with Chinese intelligence agents for a long time. I should remind you that during Clinton's administration there in the 90s particularly, I presume Bush Sr. during his administration was accommodating in this regard, but you know, Clinton really sold out the American people to the interests of the Chinese army during his tenure. I'm sure a great deal of money was behind it, but he transferred to the Chinese military just huge blocks of secret U.S. technology, computer technology, missile technology, etc. This man committed treason big time. You can see that starting with Nixon's so-called detente and opening up China and all that PR nonsense that Kissinger put together, the Illuminati, and in the case of our country, we mean the Rockefellers, long-range plans was to have China, which has a communist government. Mao, of course, would not have been the great leader and hero of the communist revolution if he wasn't funded by the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. They funded him as surely as they funded Trotsky and Lenin and Hitler. Otherwise, Chiang Kai-shek probably would have retained control of mainland China. But obviously, Rockefeller and Rothschild money, gold, I suppose, is what allowed Mao to win the Great Revolution and force Chiang Kai-shek to Formosa, today called Taiwan. Not to say Chiang Kai-shek was an angel, hardly, but probably had he remained as the dominant figure in China and Mao didn't have a, quote, a communist revolution, we probably wouldn't be in the in the position we are now. So anyway, Rockefellers have been, you know, installing communism. They installed communist Russia. They're behind, quote, the communist movement. They always have been. And here in this country, they're setting us up for a fall, as we've said on many occasions. We have a lot of fifth columnists. We have out-and-out traitors. We have a lot of blackmailed, bought-out, sold-out, New World Order sellouts in Congress. And unfortunately, in the Pentagon, there's a lot of New World Order, the intelligence agencies, there's a lot of sellouts who are following a script. And the goal is to destroy America. And who's going to, you know, rise up, as it were, and be the dominant world power? Well, their plan is to put China at the top of the pyramid. So, yeah, we've been, you know, the traitors in our government have been transferring technology for decades over to China. There's no way China would have anywhere near the lead, well, perhaps lead is not the right word, but the parity, let's say, in nuclear weapons and all kinds of modern weaponry, unless it was given to them by the United States. They couldn't have succeeded on their own. And of course, their glorious economic revolution was the result of our politicians selling us out and transferring all our production capabilities out of the country. So that the reason when you go into any department store now, everything is made in China, that's not an accident. That's not simply a natural development. There was the intentional gutting of industrial America and the creation of these industries in China. Where did they get the money to start? And where did they, et cetera? So that's been the plan for a long time. Their goal is to raise up China to be the dominant world power. And because of the latest developments in trying to break the American economy, thanks to the criminals in the Bush regime, with the Paulson Wall Street bailout, followed by another ripoff of the American taxpayer, the stimulus bill, and I mean, they're just trying to, you know, do everything possible to break this economy. So you can see the U.S. dollar is declining nationally. I was just checking a few days ago, perhaps last week, but now, at least it was last week, there's one U.S. dollar is worth 107 Australian dollars. It wasn't so many years ago, I'm guessing at the time frame, maybe 5 years ago, it was like a 2-to-1. You take two Australian dollars to equal one U.S. dollar. And then you look at the currency comparison to the Canadian dollar in the U.S., and I think the euro's up to $1.50 U.S. is equal to 1 euro. Well, when the euro came out, it was like 85 cents of U.S. money equaled 1 euro. I mean, this is obscene what the traitors in our Congress, our executive traitors, our military traitors are doing to destroy this country. This is not happening by accident. This is intentional subversion and treason of the highest magnitude. And I just wish people who aren't part of the planning committee in the military, in the intelligence agencies, in the political world, in the judicial world, would wake up to this fact that their country is being destroyed by these damn infiltrators and treasonous slime who are selling us down the drain, and stop helping them along.
Yeah,
and rebel from within. I guess I'm sounding like Drew Reynolds.
No, it's actually refreshing to hear you get a little bit of blood pressure there, mm-hmm. going. Let me say this. I heard this afternoon that the long-legged Mac Daddy is planning on sending. He's going to try a new strategy in Afghanistan. He's going to send 34,000 more troops to Afghanistan. Evidently, the poppy fields are giving everybody more than they can handle. Why would you send in 34,000 more troops into a contrived war?
Right.
It doesn't end, you know. It just doesn't end.
Of course, Obama, the Indonesian imposter, is a complete, what shall we say, silly putty type of guy. He's trying to dance between the majority of Americans, particularly the people, I suppose, that put him in office, or supposedly put him in office, and the desire of the militarist, including the guy who's fronting the Afghanistan thing. What is it, McChrystal? I'm trying to remember.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. He's part of that Pentagon NWO group that I alluded to earlier. Of course, who else are they going to put in charge of these campaigns? I was listening to Democracy Now! this morning with Amy Goodman, and she was touching on, I think it was Jeremy Scahill, I think that was his story, important story that they put out. Anyway, they were talking about how there is this, it had to do with Pakistan, and what you're having now, the subversion and the infiltration of these New World Order takeover elements now is getting so deep into the U.S. military that you have like these Blackwater mercenaries now that are have greater security clearances than U.S. military intelligence officers, and that they're doing things in the field, you know, these drone killings of untold number of Pakistani civilians, you know, in wedding parties, these drone attacks, they call them CIA attacks. I'm sure they were, but now Blackwater is playing a huge role here. So you have this melding of legitimate military personnel with Blackwater civilian mercenaries, and they're taking over a greater role. I mean, the criminality of this whole scenario is just mind-boggling, what they're doing. So getting back to the Afghanistan thing, it's a huge drug production operation, as was Vietnam and Cambodia and Laos and the so-called Golden Triangle during that period. Obviously, there's, you know, oil interest as well. But, yeah, they and to think all of the men in our military who go in the interest of protecting the United States, the people of the United States, not the oil interest of criminals who occupy the White House and the military industrial complex who, you know, want to sell a lot of war equipment so they make a lot of money, and all the mercenary types and the criminal warlords and all that who are involved in this drug pipeline operation. And who's going to die for that? You know, 18-year-old, 19-year-old kids who believe all the malarkey, the Pentagon propaganda malarkey, and go into the service and think they're going to get a, you know, well-trained job and a few brave men and all that hype. And they're just going to, you know, they're just cannon fodder, you know, just going to wind up being killed, maimed, or so psychologically injured that they'll come back to the United States and within so many months or a year, you know, kill themselves. I mean, there has never been a time in the history of the United States in which returning soldiers have committed suicide at the rate they're doing it, well, since the, you know, Afghan-Iraq wars, you know, took off. There's a reason for that. These men are doing things that is against their inner humanity to do, particularly in, you know, in the first 5 years of the Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, killing civilians like they're fish in a bowl, that's going to do a number on you psychologically. Yeah, I can understand why a lot of those guys, because when you murder people, the event haunts you. It doesn't leave you after, you know, you're back home and you're no longer in the military. You're carrying around those ghosts in your heart and in your head, and you can't sleep at night. And that's why these guys are committing suicide. You got to remember the Nazis, you know, they had a number of people in their death camp operations who also couldn't take it. You just can't, you know, it really takes a specially bred person who's, you know, abused and mind controlled from an early age to develop the lack of conscience, you know, to keep on with this, you know, this unjustified killing of people, particularly.
Yes. Let me interrupt a second here, Ken, and share something with you and the listeners. This comes from this recent article of Christopher Stories, right up the alley of what you're describing here. The article is at worldreports.org. It's called Roundup of Recent Revolutionary Developments. Little over halfway into the article, he goes into a description of the United States financial crises and Biden's car crashes. Under itemization number two, he says, Vice President Joseph Biden's transportation cadres have been engaged in a series of accidents in recent weeks. Specifically, at about 2:30 a.m. on Wednesday, the 11th of November, 2009, two U.S. Secret Service armored vehicles used to protect Vice President Joseph Biden struck and killed a pedestrian in Temple Hills at the intersection of Suitland Parkway and Naylor Road, according to U.S. Park Police. That's right, the outfit that botched the investigation into the suiciding of Vincent Foster, you will recall. The unnamed adult male pedestrian was then transported to Prince George's Hospital Center in Cheverly with multiple critical injuries and was pronounced dead shortly thereafter. The vehicles are part of a fleet used to protect the vice president and were used to convey Mr. Biden during a visit to Fort Lewis, Washington State. The vehicles had been airlifted by military planes back to Andrews Air Force Base and were heading back to a garage at the time of the incident. The VEEP had traveled to the state to attend a memorial service for seven U.S. soldiers who were killed in Afghanistan on the 27th October in a vehicle. The troops died, of course, in the line of duty, assisting the criminalized military and intelligence powers to annex, control, and exploit the huge heroin crop so that more of the troops' fellow Americans will die, too. Biden was reported to have returned to his residence at the U.S. Naval Observatory much earlier and was not involved in the incident. The identity of the victim was withheld. On Monday, the 16th of November, according to the Albuquerque Journal, a Bernalillo County Sheriff's deputy escorting Vice President Biden's motorcade hit a pedestrian. Mr. Biden was said to have been in Albuquerque for a $1,000 a plate luncheon for first-term Democratic Party representative at the city's Hotel Andaluz. The reports on this incident were confused but centered on allegations that a woman drove around police vehicles blocking an intersection and collided with the deputy's car. Albuquerque has been the scene of similar incidents before. In August 2007, a Rio Rancho motorcycle officer who was part of President Bush's motorcade died in a collision, and another officer was injured during a motorcade in February 2006. On Tuesday, the 17th of November, two New York Police Department officers assigned to Vice President Joe Biden's advanced security team were hurt in a car crash at about 5:30 p.m. in Manhattan, and one other person was hurt in the incident. Three police vehicles, a marked police vehicle, an unmarked car, and a bomb squad vehicle were moving westbound on 49th Street, crossing 10th Avenue. The marked car blocked the intersection with its lights and sirens on for the other two vehicles to cross. A New York City livery cab didn't stop, according to the police, and was then hit by the unmarked police car. The passenger in the cab was not hurt, but the cab driver was taken to hospital with neck and back injuries, while two police officers were also taken to hospital for minor injuries. As for the Veep, he was traveling to appear on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. He wasn't near the accident and wasn't hurt. The underlying reason for these accidents. We find Vice President Biden, if anything, even creepier and more sinister than his predecessor, the MK Ultra apparatchik and notorious financial terrorist Richard B. Cheney. Two serious traffic accidents in 2 days and three within a week suggests that something's not quite right here. Let's consider what the problem could be. The answer suggests itself almost immediately. Why is it necessary for the holders of the highest offices in the United States to be driven around in armored vehicles and at high speed in build-up areas? The cover answer, of course, will invariably be to protect them against terrorist attacks and assassination, given the Kennedy precedent. But another explanation hidden behind this knee-jerk response is this. These people are crooks and terrorists themselves. Crooks involved in organized crime are in constant danger of horizontalization. This much was crystal clear when former President George W. Bush appeared in London for an official visit. A vast army of arrogant American intelligence officers, snipers, SWAT team specialists, and other thuggists took over parts of London. What an advertisement for democracy. End of quote. What's your take on that?
Well, good story.
That's just a portion of this article.
Yeah,
this is great article.
He's an excellent writer. He holds your interest, but his intel is very high. He's a very fascinating man to read. I wish I every time I do print out something, thanks to your urging, you're really the one who got me to focus on him. Fabulous insights. Of course, his appraisal of what's going on certainly seems to be spot on. This is an important point. They are criminals, and they're engaged in high stakes thievery of one sort or another. And they are at odds with other factions of the illuminated ones who are jockeying for the same money or the same power access, et cetera. And they do attack each other. It's not like they're all getting along. Being criminals, they have no conscience. They have no sense of morality, so it's always a matter of trying to gain the upper hand at the expense of other criminals. I mean, this is the nature of criminal organizations. They can go through relatively smooth periods, like the mafia in this country had from certain decades, in which they have these high level meetings and agree to divide up the territory and not to compete with each other and have wars and so forth. And that goes on for a while. And then somebody makes a move on somebody's wife and he's off. And then that family, starts a revenge killing against, Mafia Family B. And then they get into a war, and then there's a lot of bodies piled up. I mean, when I was a kid and we used to see these these mafia wars spread out like in, you know, Parade magazine, like it came every Sunday in the Sunday supplements, or later on when I was older, I used to read Time and Newsweek and all that when I thought it was legit. And man, I mean, there'd be so many killings, like there's so many mafia killings, like in the 50s, particularly, good Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, being a young kid, you're really impressed by a lot of blood and dead bodies, and they'd be spread out in barbershops or on, street corners. And man, when they had a war, bodies would just pile up left and right.
This is the main reason why I brought up this 34,000. You see, the number, first of all, it appears that they're planning on doing something in Pakistan as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You wouldn't send all these guys over to Afghanistan to guard the poppy fields.
Right.
Now, in insurance terms, on the basis of each soldier getting $5,000 of insurance on his own account, his or her own account, I should say, that's a total potential payout if those 34,000 soldiers should happen to die of $170 million. But the secret insurance policies that the government, Pentagon, whoever, has on these soldiers without their knowledge is worth $34 billion. Substantial, wow. Different amount of money. And at the same time, while putting this money into play, you see, because this is what happens. They get sent over there. These policies are enforced. And this money is played in a pool before anybody dies, you see. It has the potential of accumulating $34 billion. So they start off with that figure, and they just compound it. So I suspect that the motives are more financial anyway than they are to promote democracy. And at the same time, taking 34,000 soldiers who could be here in this country protecting this country are leaving the country 34,000 soldiers short.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to make that point.
Yeah, very valid points. There's certainly nothing honorable or decent about the plans to that the invasion of Afghanistan and Iraq were unjustified. They were wrong. They were evil, and they were done in the interest of gaining access to oil artifacts in Iraq, particularly. And to make money for the military-industrial complex, a lot of money. I mean, imagine how much money was reported, quote, missing from the Pentagon by
Rumsfeld.
I mean, it's just unimaginable how these major thefts are just in the mainstream news for a day or two and treated as just another news item, like a ticker tape of the stock market goes by on the screen and it's forgotten about. And I mean, it's insane.
That didn't just happen in 2001. That there was almost as much money stolen. Forget about the word missing. I mean,
right?
You know, they use the term missing. Do you know how much money that is? Do you know how hard it is to lose
right
that much money?
Mm-hmm.
You know, $2.3 trillion. just calculating, you know, the 31,710 years, you're talking about over 63,000 years it would take to count that much money. Not mm-hmm. to mention the extra 0.3.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, say 65 or mm-hmm. thousand, round it off. Mm-hmm. 65,000 years to count that much money. And they say they lost it. I mean, does that hold water? But the year before it was 2.1, and I think another 2.3 in 1999. That didn't get reported very much.
Right.
Okay. So this has been going on for quite some time, and of course the banks are doing it. Do you think it's any accident that Goldman Sachs is involved in the Treasury, or that? And I can tell you this: public funds are being spent on the acquisition of real estate under the guise of preserving the nature sites, you know, rivers and lakes and streams and mountainous areas and farmland and all of this. And it is Goldman Sachs running that.
Yep.
Henry Paulson ran it.
Right.
He went into the Treasury and he appointed a guy. I'm doing some research on that. Mm-hmm. And it connects to Fort Hood, and it connects to all these other cases. This is just outright corruption through and through. Don't know how else to say it. From the beginning of this long-legged Mac Daddy and the lies that come out, and, you know, the truth has been printed in papers, and they just ignore it. You know, it was out. He's a socialist. He's a communist. It was out in the papers in Chicago.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Before the year 2000.
Yeah, maybe I'll just put a cap on it. If we have 10 minutes left, I just want to touch on Barbara Krause's Brown's work just a bit. But just to put a cap on this thought, there is an ABC radio talk show host during the day. His name is Mark Levin. I get a kick out of his style of radio. I really enjoy humor. You know, when I'm working during the day, I often listen to radio in the interest of, while I'm working, I sort of enjoy listening to radio and doing the work that I do at the same time. So I get a little bit of a kick out of him. However, though, his belief system, if you want to call it that, is totally sort of in the Reagan camp of the Republican Party, which is the Illuminati by any other name or any other color. So he's essentially rah 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 when the Republicans are in office, and he's all criticism when the Democrats are elected. But anyway, what I'm glad to hear him doing is he's pounding away on the notion that we should not give up on trying to stop the health care bill just because it looks like they're moving towards, you know, a final Senate vote to bring it in, and that it's not over until it's over. So he urges people, he points out there are four Democratic senators who, if sufficient pressure is put on them, could make the difference in the bill not being approved by the Senate, in which case they'd have to go back to the drawing board. So I would remind people to perhaps go to his website, and he lists those four Democrats there, and to not quietly allow this health bill to go forward. I mean, my guess is it's going to, but if enough people get upset, it's possible they could kill it. This is not good for the country at all. This is communism. This is currently Democrats like to refer to themselves, instead of liberals, they call themselves progressives. That sounds nice, but as you move down the socialist scale, eventually you enter the borderlands of communism, and if you keep on working with those people who think that way, then you're going to get full-scale communism. This bill is communism. There's no other way to describe it.
And it's theft.
It's
pre-planned, you know, premeditated theft. And these bills and these laws that they're proclaiming to be passing for the benefit of the people, so that people don't leech off the system. Listen to the criminals, the thieves, talk about leeching off the system.
Right.
Okay.
You're absolutely right.
You listen to what they're saying. This is more of the same corruption that's going on in the pharmaceutical and banking industries.
Mm-hmm.
The same thing, or in the prison systems. It all relates to punishing people for what? Mm-hmm. Punishing, what do you do? You punish somebody because they're not sick, or you punish them because they are sick? And who takes the responsibility for inducing the sickness?
Of course.
You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, this
so
is
fed up with this.
This is a show in and of itself. The pharmaceutical industry has, to put it in simple terms, has poisoned the American public through their products. It's intentional contamination of pharmaceutical products with viruses, various contaminants that cause the induction of disease conditions. And then once you're diagnosed with the disease, you have to be treated with it for the rest of your life. See, and how are you treating it? Well, you're getting a prescription. I mean, as the True Artist pointed out, the use of vaccines as a vehicle to contaminate the human body, to lower its immunity, to set us up with these oncogenes, these so-called cancer viruses. This didn't evolve through nature. This was embedded in pharmaceutical products, vaccines particularly, to set us up for, let's say, an explosion in cancer. If you look at the demographic statistics of, let's say, the 19th century or the 18th century, cancer was unheard of. I mean, once in a blue moon, somebody succumbed to cancer. But why is it in the 20th century and now into the 21st?
Well, look at the role sugar plays in the diet of you know,
yeah,
the
yeah, that's,
American,
that,
for example.
That, in fact, Linus Pauling in his books points that out very well. As the per year poundage of sugar increases, you can see an absolute linear increase in, you know, diseases, you know, diabetes and all that.
They give the alternative to sugar. Okay, so you want to lose some weight.
Which is even a greater poison.
So now you go into rat poison and they call it aspartame.
Right, exactly, right. So anyway, these folks, you know, the pharmaceuticals, people have really been instrumental in poisoning the world with these products. I have a friend who's quite adept at detecting information through a system of self-applied kinesiology. She's quite good, she started to tell me 4-5 years ago. She says she's picking up certain drugs particularly for hospital patients. She says they're contaminated. I'm picking up viruses and bacteria that they are helping to shuffle these people along, to their final rest. And then it's amazing what she picked up. And so apparently they're, you know, this toxification of pharmaceuticals is increasing as the years roll by here. I remember Dr. Kelly, William Kelly. He was the guy who helped, he came into national prominence when the actor Steve McQueen was still alive. McQueen had cancer, and he went to Dr. Kelly for treatment, and actually Kelly successfully treated his cancer using his all-natural protocols, which mostly involved using enzymes to attack and break down the tumor mass. Steve McQueen had a huge tumor mass inside his abdomen. Long story short, McQueen went to a hospital to have the mass removed. The mass was formerly a living cancer tumor, had completely atrophied, but he had this large mass. And Kelly had encouraged McQueen not to go to the hospital, to allow his enzyme therapy to gradually eat away at the tumor, because he was afraid what would happen to McQueen is that he'd get in the hospital and they see to it that, you know, he didn't survive the operation. Well, it turns out McQueen did survive the operation. Fast when he was operated on, this tumor mass, huge tumor mass, literally fell out onto the operating table because it had completely atrophied all its, you know, blood connections and so forth. Completely dead mass. They sewed McQueen back up, but Steve McQueen had some, quote, special doctors visit him at 2 o'clock in the morning, and next morning he was found dead. Of course he was murdered. Why? Because he had told Kelly over the phone after this operation was successful, and he says, I'm going to, you know, let the whole world know what a racket, you know, the cancer game is, and I'm going to blow a hole. And, of course, they heard what he had to say. They were monitoring everything he was doing because he knew had he successfully, you know, cured of cancer and lived thanks to natural methods, it would have been real bad PR for the cancer industry. So they just killed him. And it was Kelly who said in his writings that he started to pick up the contamination of certain even health supplements like pancreatic enzymes, which were part of his protocol. He discovered, because he had people who had the labs to detect them, they were putting contaminants in there, so the enzymatic action would not work in the way he had designed it. So he had to find very special suppliers. So, man, I'm telling you, the intrigue and the hidden role of the pharmaceutical industry to poison the whole world and to set us up for disease is huge. It's really huge.
Yeah. There's, you know, when I hear people talking about relatives that have come down with a certain kind of cancer, it doesn't matter what it is, and they talk to the doctors, and then the next thing out of their mouth, yeah, they started chemotherapy. Well, you know, there's not been many that have survived the chemotherapy. And, you know, they're misdiagnosed in stages 1 and 2 and even 3, and then they finally tell them when they're in stage 4.
Yeah.
And there are still ways to circumvent that. In fact, tomorrow night I'm going to have Dr. Rashid A. Buttar on.
Oh.
And we're going to get into the discussion of the swine flu and the vaccinations, and I suppose we'll talk about cancer as well.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's going to be a great show.
So I'm looking forward to that. But, well, we're about out of time here, Ken.
Yeah, I realize that, so I'll have to save my comments about the wonderful spirit and work and courage of a terrific gal by the name of Barbara Krause Brown. I'd just like to give her website, though, so people can go there. This woman is extraordinary. She has been outing reptilians big time. Her photographs and her techniques for detecting a reptilian entity who's trying to masquerade as a human being is quite remarkable. Her website is wiolawapress.com. I'll spell it W-I-O. L-A-W-A, followed by the word press, P-R-E-S-S, .com, wiolawapress.com. I'll talk about her on another occasion. She's doing fabulous work, and she's a courageous woman. She's off the chart, what she has accomplished, and she has suffered greatly, and members of her family, many members of her family, nieces and et cetera, nephews and nieces and friends have been killed. The reptiles want to take this woman out in the worst way, and they can't, so they've been going after her family and friends. But she's accomplishing remarkable things, and that's really what I originally had thought about, you know, having tonight's conversation about. But we'll save it for the next time, perhaps.
Okay. Yeah, I think you and I looked at some pictures that she had posted of rock formations and
absolutely, yes, yeah. Right. We'll talk about that. So, but go to her website. You don't have to wait till I talk about it and study her material. She has a lot of information up there. Her website's been hacked often, but she keeps on bringing it back up. This woman has fabulous tales to tell. And I'm going to be putting on, you can get it from her website, near the top of her website, she has an audio interview she did with Daniel Ott about, well, almost two years ago, but it's a wonderful interview. I'm going to put it on my site as well, and listen to that interview. This woman has valuable and extraordinary information to relay.
Okay. Well, yeah. I appreciate you coming on again, and here we are in 2 short days. We're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving. What do we have to be thankful for?
Well, you know, as I mentioned when we talked yesterday, we have a lot to be thankful for. Life itself is a wonderful experience, and you can surmount any difficulty, as we certainly will. I got a wonderful letter today from a guy in Honduras. I just put up my website. His name is Eldon Cruz, and you could see it on my from my current news page under other headlines. You could also get it from my letters page. But you know, I encourage you or anyone hearing this to go to that letter. It's the dated November 24th, 2009, and wonderful letter, just but very inspiring. So, yeah, I think there's a lot to be thankful. First, for any pleasures that you have gotten from your children, from your animals, from your friends, these are gifts from God. If you are in good health and you're not suffering daily from pain of a disease condition, you have something to be thankful for. If you can enjoy your food when you sit down and enjoy flavors and or enjoy something that's a good comedy show that you might see on TV, and if it gives you, and if you have good dreams at night, you have so much to be thankful for. And we're getting so much help now from the Sylphs to help neutralize, from the United Galactic Federation, from unheralded warriors, both in the physical and in the spirit world. We have a lot to be thankful for. We are constantly being given gifts daily. Sometimes we don't recognize them until we're older in life, but that's I'm very grateful I'm alive at this time. We're going to have probably a nice meal on Thursday, and yeah, I'm going to give thanks like I give thanks every day. And the Creator really showers you with all kinds of bounty when you get into the flow, when you get into the flow of life, and realize that the negative stuff is merely part of the play. It's merely part of the play. And then there's other parts of the play in which, you know, there's comic relief, and there's other parts of the play in which the situation seems dire, and then it all turns out okay in the end. And I believe the whole scene is going to turn out okay in the end.
Yeah, I wonder where Neil Simon was when this one was being scripted.
Yeah. But anyway, this letter from Honduras I put up today, read it. You'll see what I'm talking about. Very inspiring thoughts there.
Okay. Well, and I want to help or thank you for helping me promote my latest article, the Fort Hoodwinked article. It's gotten on my site somewhere around 23,500 hits.
Wow, that's amazing, man. Well, it's a good piece. It's a very important piece of investigative worth. So I hope the numbers continue to rise, because it's a very important expose of who this man is and who put him up to the deal. And, it's a big story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you deserve a lot of credit there. And I'm sure there's more to come.
Oh, yeah, I was just going to add, yeah, you took the words right out of my mouth.
Okay, gotcha.
There's a lot more to come, more specifics, because people do want to see that. Now, we got a call in during the show from Ken in North Carolina. Ken, we were going to take your call, but we can't necessarily take it right at the top of the show. So do call back during the week. and we'll try and address. I guess he had an update about Pastor Manning that he wanted to share.
Oh, okay.
But we were on another topic at that point, so didn't want to steer you off course.
Well, send me an email. Send you an email. I'm going to be putting up a piece about Pastor Manning anyway. So.
Yeah. So if you're listening, Ken, maybe just drop us a line, tell us what you wanted to share, and we'll make sure we get the message out. Well, Ken, it's been another great show. Another week has gone by, and we're almost at the end of the month here, and I'm looking forward to your next visit on Evident Footprints. And I want to thank you for your contribution to the show and your insights on a lot of issues.
Well, thank you, Don.
And I'm sure we'll see you again in December.
Of course.
And make the best of Thanksgiving and for you and yours. And
thank you. Thank you.
Get some rest.
Okay.
And, okay. And we'll see you next month, I guess.
Okay, well, happy Thanksgiving to all, and we'll look forward to more reports of next month.
Okay. Well, folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com and our special guest, Ken Adachi. Visit his website at educate-yourself.org. And I'd like to thank Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting this show, as well as blogtalkradio.com. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. In case we miss you tomorrow night, and really you should not miss tomorrow night's show, Dr. Buttar is going to be talking specifically about the danger of these vaccines, and this is someone who has miraculously brought Desiree Jennings way back and nearly to her original health. And so you don't want to miss tomorrow night's show. So I wish everyone in the listening audience a night filled with peace, love, and light. And if you miss us tomorrow, have a happy Thanksgiving. In the meantime, have a good night.